The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
I know a place where we can go to lay the troubles down, eating your soul. I know a place where mercy flows, take the stains, make you whiter than snow. Like a tide, it is rising up deep inside a current that moves and makes you come alive. Living water that brings the dead to life.
This is Crosswalk with Gino Geraci.
We're going down to the river, down to the river, down to the river to pray.
Hey, good afternoon and welcome, ladies and gentlemen. This is Gino Geraci. So glad you could join me on the program Crosswalk with Gino Geraci. It is, of course, November 4th. We were hoping that all election results would be in and we could have a little bit of a conversation with my friend Jim Dennison, Dr. Jim Dennison, who's the author of the Daily Article, and it's posted, of course, at Christian Headlines, but it's also posted at the Daily Article. But as prescience would have it, you, Dr. Jim Dennison, wrote, as of the writing, the results of the election, how to preserve the health of our democracy. Hey, it's still up for grabs right at this very moment. Jim Dennison, welcome to the program.
So glad to be on with you again today, and I'm honored to have the conversation the day after the election. Certainly one of the most pivotal in living memory, and delighted to be able to talk about it and see what the Lord's saying to us.
Yeah, you know, there's so much to talk about, and obviously, I don't know how late you stayed up, but I stayed up till 11 o'clock Colorado Mountain Time, and I said, I'm done. I am going to go to bed. I am going to wake up. And hopefully everything will be resolved. You must have written this article at O Dark 30.
Yeah, I get up at 4 in the morning. And, of course, go to bed kind of early. At least I try to, but it depends on the night. Certainly didn't last night. We decided last night that sleep was optional. But every morning get up at 4 to finish the article and get it out. And certainly this morning I woke up thinking, as you said, that we might know more than it turns out that we did. So it's still some things in the air, even as we speak.
And I wanted to ask you even about the title, the results of the election, how to preserve the health of our democracy. Mm-hmm. Now, Dr. Jim Dennison, you've been looking at the democracy from its inception. You have a historical view. You have a political philosophical view. How would you characterize the health of our democracy right now?
Very concerned on a new level, actually. We, as you know, and as the article discusses as well, you can go back to the beginning of the contested election, 1796, mm-hmm. and it's always been true that political candidates were excoriated by the other side.
Right.
You look at what Adams and Jefferson followers said of the other, and that's always been the case. That's kind of an example of a passionate, thriving democracy on a level. But what we've got now that we haven't had in the past is the degree to which the followers of a candidate are condemning the followers of the other candidate. Now we're at a place where Democrats and Republicans are calling the other side evil and racist and a danger to democracy, and you've got cancel culture going up. We're at a place now where we're hating the other side way past the election relative to some very divisive issues like abortion, same-sex marriage, euthanasia, that are certainly not going away. And so I'm very concerned about the health of the democracy way past the rhetoric of the elections themselves.
Now, Dr. Jim Dennison, you said something I think that was brilliant and insightful a couple of days ago. You talked about how can I put this? I'm paraphrasing you. You can correct me. That whoever wins, you basically said, it's not going to solve the deep divisive problems that we face, that this isn't going to be solved by a Republican candidate or a Democrat candidate. What are the deep divisive issues that we face, and what are the solutions?
Yeah, that's at the end of the day the most fundamental issue, isn't it? I'm really thinking on two levels. On the one level, the divisive issues that we think of relative to cultural and political issues are things like abortion, same-sex marriage, euthanasia, legalization of drugs, the things that are really being debated right now. On the one side, you've got this push toward a constitutional amendment to legalize all abortions. On the other side, you've got the desire to overturn Roe v. Wade and on some level make abortion illegal. Well, you've got 60 million abortions since 1973 in America and all that's going forward with that. That's not going away, one side or the other. Even if Roe v. Wade were overturned tomorrow, 28 states would make abortion legal the next day. It's estimated that we could see a reduction of 100,000 abortions if Roe v. Wade were overturned, but that may be compensated for by medical abortions available in pharmaceuticals. So that's certainly not going away. You're thinking about religious liberty issues relative to LGBTQ issues. There was a case argued before the Supreme Court today having to do with Catholic charities and whether they can continue to work with adoption programs and foster care programs in Philadelphia and other places because they believe in biblical marriage. And then you're seeing the push toward making euthanasia a civil right on a national level, and that's not going away. So we're seeing these divisive issues that are certainly going to outlive the particular election. But the second level and the larger issue is the one that you and I talk about so often, and that's just the brokenness of humanity. That's just the sin nature. It's my desire to be my own God, back to Genesis 3:5. And politics can't solve that. That, as we know, is the work of the Holy Spirit.
You know, Louisiana, Colorado yesterday, or today actually, it had a proposition called 115, which would outlaw late-term abortions. Louisiana, interestingly, had a single sentence added to the Louisiana Constitution, which basically said something to the effect that the Louisiana, that nothing in our Constitution should lead a person to believe that abortion is a constitutional right. It passed by over 60%. You've talked about worldview a lot. It sounds to me like this deep divide isn't just over issues that are going to be debated, argued, and then one side is going to be persuaded to a different view. There are deep ideological divisions right now.
Those are exactly the kind of issues we're talking about. Those are great examples of that. I had the privilege of being the keynote speaker for the governor's prayer breakfast in Louisiana a few years ago. Got to meet the governor, John Bel Edwards, who's a Democrat, but a very conservative Democrat. And when you're in Louisiana, it's obvious that the Catholic worldview, a very conservative biblical worldview relative to moral issues, is really dominant in the state and dominant in the legislature. And that's what you see reflected in this language, making it clear that abortion is not to be understood as a civil right or a constitutional right in Louisiana. You move that over to Colorado, where you live, and you understand the culture certainly better than I do, but you certainly wouldn't say that it would be a conservative, Catholic-dominated kind of worldview that's in play there, that's at work there. And so two very different ways of seeing the same issue coming out of two very different, in many ways, oppositional worldviews.
One of the things I find interesting is another headline. It was a statement signed by nearly 200 evangelical leaders about peacemaking amid deeply divisive election. Now, obviously, you've written extensively on the issue of being a peacemaker rather than a troublemaker. How can we have a spirit of reconciliation, but all the while maintain and embrace historical biblical Christianity?
And that's the balance, isn't it? It's so easy to go to one side or the other. So easy either to pull back from the culture, kind of the Barnabas, or pulling back into salt and the salt shaker kind of an idea that is the Benedict option that can be a way that we look at this. And we're kind of going to retreat from this. We're going to be red letter Christians that only look at the teachings of Jesus as we understand them and really get away from that. That's something that Christianity Today called the other day a kind of a remnant theology, as opposed to a regnant theology that wants to engage cultural issues in the context of biblical truth. So really the balance is Ephesians 4:15. It's speaking the truth in love. It's being as prophetic as Nathan was with David, or as Jesus was in Matthew 23, or Peter with Ananias and Sapphira. It's certainly not backing down. It's 1 Peter 3, being ready always to make a defense for the truth we have, but doing so with reasonableness, doing so with graciousness, doing so in the spirit of Jesus as well as the word of Jesus. At the end of the day, my friend, I don't know how to do that except to ask the Holy Spirit to create that balance inside me, to show me when to be this and when to be that, and trust him with the balance.
Jim, can you stay with me one more segment?
Absolutely.
My guest, Dr. Jim Dennison from the Dennison Forum. Go there. I'll be right back.
It's getting heavier this afternoon. There was one crash northbound I-25 near I-76. That wreck has been cleared. It's a busy drive on I-25 across downtown. Getting heavier along 270, 6th Avenue, Lakewood Drive. There's some emergency road work westbound 6th Avenue blocking the ramp to Garrison. I'm Susan Phelan.
This report is sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance, where you only pay for what you need.
Remember, customize and save with Liberty Mutual Insurance Company. Only pay for what you need at libertymutual.com.
Liberty, 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 liberty.
94.7 FM, The Word.
Here's Dr. Robert Jeffress with today's Pathway Minute.
God is all-powerful. God is all-loving. He is all-wise. And he has a plan he's working out through the suffering, the tragedy you're experiencing. Isn't that what the scriptures teach? Joseph was betrayed by his brothers, sold into slavery, left for dead. But remember, God used that betrayal by his brothers to put Joseph exactly where God wanted him to be, at the right hand of Pharaoh, the most powerful man in the world. And in Genesis chapter 50, when Joseph finally confronts his brothers who decades earlier had sold him into slavery, he didn't face them with resentment and bitterness. Remember what he said to them? He said, "And as for you, you meant it for evil, but God used it for good."
Today's Pathway Minute is provided by your station and Pathway to Victory. To hear the Bible teaching of Dr. Robert Jeffress, go to ptv.org.
Hey there, Dan Cicchini, owner of Dunright Kitchens and Baths, Windows and Doors. There's absolutely no reason why right now can't be your time to get started on that beautiful new kitchen or that awesome bath you've always wanted. Right, Todd?
Of course, Dad. With our unique cabinet resurfacing, they'll get that beautiful new kitchen and without the mess and expensive replacement, and in a shorter time, too.
Boy, you've got that right, Todd. But if an all-new kitchen is on their wish list, we'll build it from the bottom up, first rate all the way. And let's not forget that very special room, the bath. What about that?
Well, hey, turning leaky, moldy, smelly baths into awesome rooms? That's what we do. Whether it's a tub-to-shower conversion or a whole new five-piece bath, our family business will make it special, just like we've done for decades.
Okay, Todd. So, folks, give us a call and see what our family can do for your family. Kitchens, baths, counters, and floors, and even replacement windows and doors. You have our word, we'll treat you right at Dunright. 303-722-2295, 800-362-8370, or drhi.com.
Ah, retirement. Sounds so sweet, you can almost taste it, can't you? You've been doing the right things, saving the right way, working hard, and now you're ready to start that next great journey of life. You get to do what you love, with the people you love, in places you've been dreaming about for years. Are you ready? Have you saved enough? Do you know if your money's going to last? That's where we come in. This is Colin Richards, founder of Lord & Richards. Tune in every Tuesday at 1 o'clock right here on KRKS 94.7 for the Lord & Richards Show. I'm going to take you on a journey to discover how to be financially independent sooner than you might think and from a biblical point of view. Learn more at lordandrichards.com or call 720-372-0400. That's 720-372-0400.
Investment advisory service is offered only by duly registered individuals through AE Wealth Management, LLC.
Faith Bible Chapel in Arvada has always been about the lives of real people. Some hurting, some broken, all imperfect. Listen every Sunday at 11:30 a.m. on 94.7 FM The Word to Pastor Jason King of Faith Bible Chapel as he shares with you how you can discover your purpose, uncover the power of God's Word, and encounter the love of Christ that will transform you. You can watch live every Sunday at 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. at faith.church. Go to faith.church to start your new journey with Christ today and listen Sundays at 11:30 a.m. right here on 94.7 FM The Word.
Crosswalk with Gino Geraci.
Jesus, the name above.
Hey, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Gino Geraci. So glad you could join me. Joining me, Dr. Jim Dennison from the Dennison Forum. I am so glad to have him on as we talk about what's happening right at the moment. And right at the moment, Jim Dennison, obviously, it's what we've always known. Joe Biden or Donald Trump is going to get to the 270 mark. One of them's going to win. One of them's going to lose. The Constitution of the United States is going to remain intact, as far as I know. But again, some other conversations you and I have had, we've seen this tilt towards socialism. We've seen this tilt towards people asking and answering, is this the most effective way that we can do governance? I happen to be a big believer in the Constitution and believe that we should hold on to the Constitution. But I wanted to ask you, other democracies like Britain and Israel have opted for a parliamentary procedure. Do you see value in that, or do you believe that there's a genius to the Constitution that's appropriate for our culture, our society?
That's a terrific question and really appropriate for these days. I get to go to Israel a lot. I've been there 30 times over the years and pretty familiar with their system. Try to follow pretty carefully the politics of it and have some good friends that are really involved in some governmental roles over there. In their last election, they had 30 different parties.
Wow.
That participated in this. And as is the case with the typical parliamentary approach, as you know, no one party ever gets a majority. I don't think that's ever happened since 1948 in Israeli history. So the leading party gets the opportunity to create a coalition with other parties to get in the Knesset scape. That's 120 seats, so they have to get to 61 to have a governing coalition. So they form these multiple parties together to get to 61 seats. And then when they do that, the leader of the largest party becomes prime minister. You're not voting for a person, you're voting for a party in that kind of a system. Well, we're looking at our governance today and we're thinking, boy, that sounds good. They have multiple parties. They have multiple ways of doing this where you don't have to all be one or the other. Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez said that in any other country, she wouldn't be in the same party as Joe Biden. And in Israel, that absolutely would be the case, I would think. Here's the downside of that. Once you put together this governing coalition, especially if you're only at 61 or 62 seats, a tiny party with three or four seats can pull out and the whole thing collapses and they have to start over. So a party with only two or three seats has enormous outsized power relative to the larger legislative agendas in Israel. In recent years, for instance, there have been tiny parties that have been opposed to Palestine as a country. They've been in favor of settling the entire West Bank. It's been a very nationalistic thing. They usually get in these governing coalitions. They just have two or three seats. But if they pull out, the government falls apart, and they kind of hold hostage the whole process by which Israel relates to Palestine as a result of that. And whether we think that's good or bad, it's a governing system in which minority parties have outsized leverage if these kind of coalitions are how the governing coalitions are done. And in Israeli history, anyway, that's historically been how that has worked. And so a two-party system, as we do it here, or a system that is not based on a parliamentary approach, doesn't give that kind of power to a small minority group. And I think in a larger sense, that's valuable for us. But there is no ultimate system that can counteract the fact of sin, the will to power that's the basic drive in human nature, and the fact that at the end of the day, we have to learn how to give power to the minority as well as the majority. That's why we're not a democracy. We're a democratic republic, a constitutional republic, where the minority has a stake in this, just hopefully not as outsized as sometimes is the case in Israel.
Yeah, it's so interesting. And I wanted to point people to your article that you wrote today at the Dennison Forum. There you quote Pew Research that in 1997, 64% of Americans expressed confidence in each other's ability to make wise political choices. Today, that number stands at 34%. Now, you're citing that article. You say, similarly, 73% of Democrats and Republicans say they not only disagree over plans and policies, but also cannot agree on basic facts. Now, this is a shift. This is a monumental shift. And you talk about it in another article, your new website article, The Most Consequential Election in Living History. Is there, do you see a buttressing? Is there a way to
to go back in time? Or what do you see happening? Is this slide going to continue?
I'm afraid it probably will, absent external effects and external threats. Part of the reason that America's been able to work together typically when they've been in very divided places is there's been an external threat that brought us together. Whether it's World War I, the Great Depression, World War II, the War on Terror, whatever that might be. I'm old enough to remember the 2000 election. I was actually in Cuba when that election happened that night. It was really surreal to watch it on CNN in a Cuban hotel room.
Right.
The Bush versus Gore, the hanging chads, all the
I was in Colombia, by the way. Yeah, I was overseas at the same time. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really crazy to see it through the eyes of a different culture.
Yeah.
You know? In fact, Fidel Castro offered to give help to America's legislative process because they never have hanging chads in Cuba. Well, it's because they don't do elections in Cuba, quite on the real sense. And so back in those days, I remember how divided the country was, Bush, Gore, how people thought this could be the end of democracy. And then tragically, 9/11 comes along. But the advantage of that is how it united the entire country around a larger external threat. I'm hoping that we can see some of the issues that we're facing now, whether it's coronavirus or perhaps the rise of China, perhaps some issues relative to Turkey and what it's doing right now in the Middle East, as perhaps providing some kind of external unifying force. But the larger thing that I think is in play here is the day that we look at this and say, look, we have to be Americans together for there to be an America. We can't do consensual morality with our democracy without consensual morality. Jonathan Sacks' terrific new book on morality makes that point really, really well, I think. And I'm hoping that some leaders, some cultural leaders are starting to understand we've got to build common cause across these divides in order to preserve this democratic experiment.
You know, you hit on three major things: abortion, biblical marriage, and religious freedom. It seems odd to me that even within so-called Christianity, that there seems to be a loosening and then a distancing on this important issue of life, a defense of marriage and religious freedom. It seems interesting to me that for people who are left-leaning, their idea of religious freedom and my idea of religious freedom seem to be vastly different. Do we have to go back and redefine terms and say, no, this is what I mean by life. This is what I mean by marriage. This is what I mean by freedom.
We really do. At the end of the day, one of the real issues that I would want us to be paying attention to going forward is the difference between freedom of religion and freedom of worship. Mm-hmm. The latter phrase has been used in recent years to say that what the government really offers you is a freedom of worship, a freedom on a Sunday morning in the context of a worship service to be able to speak as you feel led as a pastor and have freedom to express your faith, but only in the context of that Sunday morning worship service. Outside of that, you do not have religious freedom, especially to so-called discriminate against LGBTQ individuals, or whether it's abortion or euthanasia, whatever the issue might be. And along with that, part of the freedom of worship movement is to then tax all church property or religious property that isn't used expressly for worship. And think about the low-hanging fruit. That could be the billions of dollars in tax that could be in play in that context. So I'd want people to pay attention to when people use that phrase, freedom of worship, as opposed to freedom of religion, because that's a movement that's coming down the way.
It seems to me that the enemy of abuse is freedom, and the enemy of freedom is abuse.
Well,
Thomas Jefferson said, a democracy cannot be both ignorant and free. At another time, Jim Dennison, we have to talk about the state of the media and where we can go to get, well, credible information.
Part of the challenge is if we don't know what's happening out there, we can't respond to it. And right now, everything's through such a filter, isn't it?
Yes.
Through such a narrated sort of echo chamber that I'm unwilling even to hear opinions that aren't mine, much less to have common cause with people across these divides. And so I think Christians have the opportunity here to demonstrate unity in Christ that can make all the difference.
Thank you so much, Jim Dennison. Go to DennisonForum.org, DennisonForum.org. Read the latest article, get the resources that he has available. I use them every day. Jim Dennison, thanks so much for all that you do.
What a privilege to be with you today, my friend. God bless.
How is it getting heavier for the drive? We are looking good. There's no crashes, no big problems. 270, one of the slowest drives. Typical delays, westbound 270 jammed, I-70 up past Vasquez. Eastbound 270 slow heading to York. I-70 corridor looks great in that eastbound direction from I-25 out to 225. At westbound side, sluggish toward York. Out in the west end, we're looking good. C-470, no problems. Now there's some emergency road work, westbound 6th Avenue blocking the ramp to Garrison and a minor delay. On Susan Field.
This report is sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance, where you only pay for what you need.
94.7 FM, The Word.
The challenges of parenting have been compounded with the pandemic, and many public schools and districts are in disarray. What if I told you there are open seats at excellent private schools throughout Colorado? Open, waiting for your child. What if I told you that you could secure tuition half off at these select private schools? If you're concerned and want more for your child or grandchild, visit ColoradoDiscountTuitions.com today and see available half-price tuition options. What you do today could change everything for your child. ColoradoDiscountTuitions.com.
You know, I don't know what my family would do without our Medicaid and Medicare benefits, but I just found out there may be a way to get even more benefits with no extra costs. That's why I called United Healthcare. United Healthcare showed me how I could get more benefits than I get with original Medicare. A dual complete plan from United Healthcare combines my doctor, hospital, and prescription drug coverage into one plan, plus provides additional great benefits at no extra cost, like dental and vision coverage, rides to and from my doctor, and credits toward health items and food. It's easy to see if you're able to get more benefits. Call United Healthcare at 1-800-222-CARE. That's 1-800-222-CARE. The call is free and there's no obligation. Call soon because the deadline for Medicare annual enrollment ends December 7th. Call United Healthcare now at 1-800-222-CARE. That's 1-800-222-CARE.
Paid actor portrayal. Benefits and availability may vary by plan and location. Limitations and exclusions apply.
Hi, my name is Ryan Bourne.
And I'm Danica Bourne.
And we're the owners of South Coast Tax.
We would like to thank our Lord for protecting us from evil. Psalm 91 states, He is my refuge and my fortress, for He will rescue us from every trap and protect us from deadly disease.
South Coast Tax are Christian-based tax accountants and attorneys who specialize in releasing bank levies, wage garnishments, and filing complex tax returns. We are the leaders in acceptance of offers and compromise with awesome results.
We are also a small firm who will treat you like family and not just a number.
Call us today at 1-800-TAX-1176 for a free consultation, and we'll take the time to explain all the programs that you qualify for in order to allow you a fresh start.
In John 8:36, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. And one way we can achieve that is by being debt-free. So let us help you today. Call us at 1-800-TAX-1176, and together we can help achieve this goal by putting the IRS tax debt behind you for good. Again, that number is 1-800-TAX-1176.
For 26 years, Church Partner has been serving Colorado churches and schools. They partner with manufacturers and publishers so they can offer you quality name brand furniture and church supplies that you need for less. And their special pricing through Office Depot will save you up to 80% off regular prices. So call today at 303-794-4606 or visit their website at churchpartner.com and let them show you how you can spend less on the things you need so more can be spent on God's work.
Hey, this is Pastor Ed from Calvary Church in Aurora, and I want to encourage you to take a minute and get the free Calvary Church app. On it, you'll find our live stream services, weekly messages, the Lead to Serve podcast, ways to connect with us, and information about our church, plus so much more. Just go to your app store and search Ed Taylor or Calvary Church, download it, turn on notifications, and we'd love to stay connected with you. Get the free Calvary Church app today.
This is Crosswalk with Gino Geraci.
Word of life, speak to my weary heart, strengthen my broken parts.
Hey, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. And of course, I'm inviting you to call me to see what's going on in your heart and in your mind. 303-873-1935. Right now, if the polls, not the polls, if the media outlets are correct, it's my reading that Biden has 264 electoral votes. Trump has 214. If Biden wins Nevada, that's going to put him at 270. If Trump wins all the contested states, the battleground states that are outstanding, that's going to be 268. If Biden wins a single one of the contested states, the election is over. 303-873-1935, that's the number. And I know that a number of different outlets have called at least part of these things. But again, where we're standing is at 264 and 214. If you'd like to join me on the program, it's 303-873-1935. That's the number. If you want to join me on the program, would love to hear from you. I am looking at some of the other headlines that I think are important, at least from my perspective. And like I said, some of the important headlines include a statement by Milton Quintanilla. Nearly 200 evangelical leaders sign a statement urging Christians to be peacemakers amid deeply divisive election. And clearly the 2020 presidential election continues to be contested. A number of different evangelical leaders are calling on Christians to be peacemakers amid threats of national and civil turmoil once the winner has been declared. There's a letter entitled A 2020 Call for Biblical Peacemaking. And again, there's lots that we can talk about in that area. Psalm 89:14 tells us that justice and righteousness are foundational to the throne of God. And when a nation and a government hold those standards in esteem, as the Lord intends, then a nation is strong and for the most part peaceful. Yes, we want justice. Yes, we want righteousness. And peacemakers lean into where there is no peace, and then they make peace. Paul the Apostle said in Romans 14:19, "Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification." And again, the number's 303-873-1935. That's the number if you want to join me on the program. And as you can imagine, even before this program is over with, it could be called one way or the other. And by the way, there is another article that I wanted to bring to your attention that's posted for today. It got at ChristianHeadlines.com. 23-year-old church arsonist is sentenced to 25 years in prison. Many of you probably remember that Holden Matthews, a 23-year-old man who burned down three historically black churches in Louisiana, was sentenced to 25 years in prison and ordered to pay $2.6 million for his crimes, that according to the Associated Press. Matthews, who reportedly got involved in what was called black metal, which authorities call an extreme subgenre of metal, was initially investigated by the ATF and FBI because it was believed that the arsons were hate crimes. But according to the AP, Matthews burned three churches down to further his image as a black metal artist. The churches, Mount Pleasant Missionary Baptist Church, Greater Union Baptist Church, and St. Mary Missionary Baptist Church, all received portions of the $2.6 million in compensation he was ordered to pay. Now, again, how he came up with the money and how that money came about, or if he's actually paid the fine, it just seems remarkable if that's true. The churches received $1.1 million, $970,000-plus, and $590,000-plus, respectively. Matthews burned down the three churches within 10 days from the tail end of March to the early part of April. This was in 2019. it's not suspected that racism was the motive for the burnings. However, Matthew stated that he figured the burnings would have taken the churches back to a dark time of racial segregation. The judge asked the Bureau of Prisons to put him in a prison near his family and give him substance abuse and mental health treatment, according to a Louisiana local television outlet. The Department of Justice's Civil Rights Division was the main prosecutor in the suit against Matthews, who was convicted on both federal and state arson crimes. And according to the Assistant Attorney General Eric Drabond of the Civil Rights Division, these churches trace their origins to the post-Civil War Reconstruction period, and for generations were a places for predominantly African-American Christians to gather, pray, worship, and celebrate their faith. The churches survived for nearly 150 years, but they didn't survive this defendant's warped act of hatred. And so, again, we are hoping and we are praying that no matter how this election unfolds, that people are going to respond graciously. 303-873-1935, that's the number if you want to join me on the air. Also, because of yesterday's election, Oregon became the first state in the country to decriminalize small amounts of heroin and cocaine. Now, think about that. Oregon citizens voted to decriminalize heroin and cocaine. That according to Fox News. A vote of 59 to 41 tipped the scales to change Oregon's state policy. Here's how they characterized it: a humane, cost-effective health approach. So, decriminalizing heroin and cocaine. Now, what's interesting to me, over 100 different organizations, including the Oregon chapter of the American College of Physicians, said that the new bill would provide a healthcare approach that includes a health assessment to figure out the needs of people who are suffering from addiction. And it includes connecting them to the services that they need. Marijuana tax revenue has generated $100 million for the state of Oregon. But I'm wondering how much money is being spent from overdoses and the health issues associated with drug abuse. So users found in possession of large amounts of the drugs, as well as drug manufacturers and distributors, according to the new law, will still be prosecuted, but the fine can be waived if the person agrees to an evaluation at the Addiction Recovery Center. As it goes in Oregon, so follows Colorado. 303-873-1935.
Bet your highways are looking good. Some delays out here, but no problems as far as accidents. It's a water main break. Westbound 6th Avenue ramp to Garrison car that is blocked, but that's not really causing much of a delay. There's a crash up in northern Colorado, northbound I-25 near the meat exit, near Highway 66. On Susan Feeling.
Remember, customize and save with Liberty Mutual Insurance Company. Only pay for what you need at libertymutual.com.
Liberty, 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 liberty.
94.7 FM, The Word.
This is Owen Strand for townhall.com. In the film No Country for Old Men, a sheriff played by Tommy Lee Jones recounts a dream. He saw his father riding a horse, going on ahead to make a fire somewhere out in all that dark and all that cold, and I knew that whenever I got there, he'd be there. The Coen brothers' film wasn't political, but these words resonate today. Hopelessness abounds, lockdowns continue, marriages suffer, children languish, and politics divide. Many years ago, a wise man said to his followers that they should love their neighbor. Christ's words promise to galvanize us in the wake of a bitter election. We must love our neighbor in divided days. We should not fall prey to hate or insufferability. We should go on ahead and make a fire somewhere in the dark and work to prepare a better country for our children and for citizens yet to be born. I'm Owen Strand.
The Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy, impacting policy decisions today, preparing public leaders for tomorrow. Learn more at publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu.
Parents, are you happy with your children's at-home high school experience? Wondering if you're doing all you can to prepare them for the next step in their life? Check out Salem Career Hub online at salemcareerhub.com. Whether it's college prep school, a four-year university, an MBA, or learning real-world vocational skills needed to start a career, get connected with top-ranked online schools and leading skills-based short-term training programs like full-stack software development from the co-founder of Apple, Steve Wozniak, to online XR programs. Teaching hands-on vocational courses for HVAC, welding, plumbing, facilities management, electricians, solar, and more, all at a special reduced Salem Career Hub price. Better your child's life through education. Our team of educational experts are available to help you Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. Central Time. Just call 866-711-6275, 866-711-6275, or online at salemcareerhub.com.
November is a time for giving thanks for our many blessings. I'm incredibly grateful for what Synagenix has done for me, and you can be too. Dr. Julie McCallan here. My team can help you get your metabolism and hormones balanced and healthy. Don't wait to lose that extra 20 pounds or to finally sleep better and feel better. Call today to begin your journey back to health with my team at Synagenix Denver. Our number is 720-387-3681 or visit our website at denver.synagenix.com.
Have you wanted to speak a new language but thought it would be too difficult? Then try Babbel. Babbel starts by teaching you words and phrases that gradually get more complex. Soon, you're practicing short conversations. So in 15 minutes a day, you'll be speaking a new language in a few weeks. Babbel is built around real life. It teaches you practical conversations that you will actually use. Babbel, language for life. Celebrating 10 million subscriptions sold. Now try Babbel for free. Just go to Babbel.com today. That's Babbel.com.
Sometimes in life, you have to take a leap of faith. Whether it's starting a new career, moving out of town, or saying, I do, there are critical moments in each of our lives where we have to step forward without all the facts. At Wednesday on Brave, Jeff Swarzentraub discusses what to do when that next giant leap of faith comes calling. That's Wednesday on Brave with Jeff Swarzentraub.
Weekday mornings at 6 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. and weeknights at 7 p.m. on Denver's 94.7 FM, The Word. Denver's 94.7 FM, The Word. Listen live at radio.com.
Now, back to Crosswalk with Gino Geraci.
Hey, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Gino Geraci. So glad you could join me on the program. The number is 303-873-1935. That's the number if you want to join me on the program. And a couple of news items. Joe Biden has, again, both Fox News, CNN, AP is calling Michigan and Wisconsin for Joe Biden, which puts him within striking distance of the presidency. He now has 264 electoral votes, while President Trump has 214. And so that means that the president would have to literally win every battle state that's left in order to pull it off. If Nevada's six votes go to Biden, then the election is pretty much over with. And the number, 303-873-1935, that's the number if you want to join me on the program. The president's campaign has filed a lawsuit in Michigan to halt vote counting and has sought to intervene in an impending appeal to in Pennsylvania. And the GOP was in a strong position to keep the Senate. The Democrats were expected to keep a majority in the House. And so, but it's looking less and less certain. So we're just going to have to wait and watch. 303-873-1935. That's the number if you want to join me on the program. 303-873-1935. It was great having Dr. Jim Dennison on. He has posted at his website that the Democrats expanded their majority in the House of Representatives by at least 5 seats. Control of the Senate will come down to the races in Maine, North Carolina, Michigan, and Georgia. And he writes, on January 27th, 1838, in one of his first major speeches, Abraham Lincoln addressed, quote, the perpetuation of our political institutions, unquote. He stated, quote, at what point, then, is the approach of danger to be expected? I answer, if it ever reaches us, it must spring up amongst us. It cannot come from abroad. If destruction be our lot, we must ourselves be its author and finisher. He said this on January 27, 1838. Abraham Lincoln said, as a nation of free men, we live through all time, or we die by suicide. So, writing in Christianity Today, Bonnie Christen notes that our Lord warned us about malice and murder in Matthew 5:21 through 22. She says, quote, the rejection of love that motivates us to murder someone, Jesus said, is just as real and grave a sin when it leads us to despise her. By that standard, America has been at civil war for a very long time, unquote. Her evidence, quote, negative partisanship is on a decades-long rise, while Americans who lean toward one major party and its platform increasingly believe members of the other party are closed-minded and morally inferior to their own group, unquote. That's an interesting statement. The statement that they not only believe the other party is closed-minded, but that the other party is morally inferior. You know, what's interesting to me is every single decision that has a moral consequence is a moral decision. She cites research indicating that, quote, hate for the other side is more compelling than support for one's own, unquote. That, too, is an interesting statement. Pew reports that in 1997, 64% of Americans expressed confidence in each other's ability to make wise political choices. Today, that number stands at 34%. Similarly, 73% of Democrats and Republicans say they not only disagree over plans and policies, but they also cannot agree on basic facts, unquote. Geopolitical analyst George Friedman reports that anger and animosity have always been a part of America's elections. He points to the fact that Andrew Jackson's wife was called a prostitute and cites, quote, the corruption that marred previous elections, like Rutherford B. Hayes or John Quincy Adams' second election, unquote. Such bitterness began with our first contested election in 1796 and persists to this day. Friedman argues that loathing candidates is normal, and even healthy in a liberal democracy, unquote, as it demonstrates passion and commitment to the political process. However, he states that beginning in 2020, supporters of one candidate began to despise the supporters of the other candidate with visceral rage. As a result, each camp has come to see the other as contemptible. Each is seen as morally depraved. Each is shunned by the other. Unquote. So consequently, when the election results are known, a vast part of America continues to loathe another vast part of America. Jim Dennison on this program earlier said that he thought that it was frightening. And he also thought that unless there's some pretty profound changes, it's not going to go away anytime soon. He thinks that Friedman is right, that the issues that divide us, like abortion, like biblical marriage and religious freedom, is only going to become more and more stark. Proposition 115 failed. The Colorado basically has defeated every single abortion challenge. That's interesting to me because the Louisiana election yesterday passed, but it wasn't a late-term abortion law. It was a different law. Louisiana changed their constitution. They approved an amendment declaring, quote, there is no right to abortion. What's interesting to me about it is that it passed by 62% to 38%. It was called Amendment 1. It was also called Love Life Amendment. The amendment was placed on the ballot by the Louisiana legislature and was sponsored by two women, a Louisiana House Democrat, Katrina Jackson, and a Louisiana Senate by a Republican, Senator Beth Mizell. And then Democratic Governor John Bel Edwards supported the amendment. It adds just one sentence to the Louisiana Constitution. I'll tell you what that sentence is in the next hour. 303-873-1935. What can we learn?